On December 26, 2004, there was an enormous earthquake in the Asian Pacific, below the bottom of the sea. And this earthquake caused a tremendous wave that we call a tsunami. And this wall of water, up to 65 feet high, raged onto the lands in the Asian Pacific. And people at the beach might have seen it coming, but they could not escape. This wall of water was raging towards them, and nothing could stand in the way. Anything that was in the way was wiped out from this earth. Houses, hotels, shops, shipyards, harbors. 230,000 souls. Many were fearing at that moment, and many were praying to God in their own language. Many saw death right in front of them, and many had lost loved ones. Some were even never found anymore. Do not think that in 2020 that cannot happen again. Do not think that our might in technology and science can control our life, can protect us, and can preserve us, and can avoid any of those disasters. Do not think that we have everything under control. And I know what we are all thinking right now. The coronavirus, just a virus, invisible for our eyes, is raging through this world. Many have died. Many are ill. And many are affected and infected, while not even knowing it. This disease goes faster than nations and governments can mitigate. People are anxious. Many are terrified and desperate. The coronavirus is like a modern-day tsunami that comes unto us. An invisible tsunami. And we? How about us? We do take precautions. We do obey the government, and we try to avoid further spreading of this virus. But is that all? No, someone says, I have a solid medical insurance, and healthcare in the United States is better than anywhere else. But that's not what I mean. Is that all for you? Taking precautions, washing your hands and not shaking hands, trusting your medical insurance and the many hospitals here in Grand Rapids? Is that all? Is that what we put our trust on? How poor we are if that is our trust. How miserable the man is who believes that his medical insurance will solve this problem. I hope that tonight there are people in our midst who know by experience what it is, what we have read in Psalm 46, who know what it is to seek and find refuge in God, the triune God, who know that He is their strength and He alone, who trust upon Him, who have sought shelter and found refuge in Jesus Christ. Tonight, we need to answer the question for ourselves. Am I scared or comforted? Am I distressed or confident? Is my life shaken Or have I built my house on the rock? Nations are busy to mitigate, to control this outbreak. Everything is done. Several areas in the world are completely frozen. All necessary measures to mitigate are followed by us. And that is necessary, and it is good, but it is not all. We need to go one level deeper. And we need to wonder what the real cause of this disease, like the many others, and this pestilence, like many others, is. And then we don't need to look at the one next to us, because the reason and the cause is in my heart. Sin, rebellion against God, not willing to obey, not willing to follow, being on your own throne, being in control, being the master of your own destiny, being independent. That is what we like. Mankind has abandoned God. That is the deepest source of all misery and all evil and all diseases. Do we see God's hand moving over the world? Do we hear his voice uttering a simple one word that makes the earth melt? And do we realize that this is a chastisement, a calling to return unto him? Remember, a chastisement has love in it. It is meant to make you return unto him. That we are reminded of our frailty, reminded of the brevity of life, reminded that here we do not have an eternal city, but that we ought to seek and expect the city to come. And that we realize that I have sinned against a God of love, a God who continues to call me back unto him to return, but a God I have forsaken. And this turmoil might be a punishment, like the pestilence we read about in 2 Samuel 24. David, against God's will, wanted to count his nation. He wanted to be the great king. And God did visit him with punishment. And David could choose what punishment God would give him. And God gave a pestilence. 70,000 people from the Israelites perished, died by God's mighty hand. And Amos 4, we have read together, does speak of God's mighty hand. In famine, in drought, in plagues, in pestilence. And have you been hit by this word you read in this chapter several times? Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Yet have ye not returned. Does that word pierce your and my heart? Isaiah 26 speaks of thy judgments are in the earth. The inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. And that is what we need. We need to hear and learn about righteousness. His righteousness. Christ's righteousness. And being justified. Being made righteous unto him. The circumstances of today might give us a sense of dependency and frailty and realize once again the brevity of life. These days are a strong call of a triune God. And in these days, we ought to return and turn to God's Word. And we do that tonight with Psalm 46. And we will focus on the first three verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. A mighty fortress is our God. We all know that from Luther, based on this psalm, a mighty fortress. Against every foe, against all hostility, and against all danger. And a mighty fortress is what we need in this broken and fallen world, this world that had become a wilderness, a world of threat, a world of earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, diseases. And that to people who can do heart surgery, have had people on the moon, and have all kind of special technologies, microcomputers. But we can't control tsunamis or earthquakes. We can't apparently control a virus like that is raging today. Paradise is lost. Psalm 46 is a psalm for all times, where there is apparent threat of disaster, where there is terrible news about threats and diseases. Do you feel down? Do you feel distressed? Are you worried? Where is the God of Psalm 46 in your life? Is he your refuge and strength? The psalm is most likely written at the time that the Assyrians were besieging the city of Jerusalem. 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. Sennacherib and his general Rabsaki, this general who was shouting like a dog at the walls of Jerusalem, mocking the people. In who do you trust? Egypt that you will lean on is like a reed that will pierce your hand. Hezekiah cannot save you, and the God of Hezekiah cannot save you. God will not deliver you. You even drink your own urine because there is no water in your city. No water. And what did Hezekiah do? When he received this letter, he went to the house of the Lord and he spread out all these words and all these accusations and all this mocking unto the Lord. He spread it out before the Lord. A psalm upon Alamoth, says Psalm 46. Alamoth, that might be a musical instrument, but it might also be a song to be sung by young girls, maidens. And it says the sons of Korah. And that reminds us of this terrible event in Numbers 16. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They were rebelling against Moses and Aaron. And the earth did open and swallowed them up with their families, except the family of Korah, because they did not join him in his rebellion against Moses and against the Lord. They were saved. They were spared. And now we read about them in God's word. They have a place in God's word. They were worshiping God, singers from the stem of Levi, the tribe of Levi. God is a refuge and strength. A refuge, a place where you can find shelter against danger. And a strength is like a stronghold. These are military terms. Against natural threats, verse 1 to 3. Against political threats, verses 4 to 7. And against military threats, verse 8 to 11. And all this, in the midst of all this, the city of God is preserved, protected by God. This beautiful confession of trust in God, of a people that are in the midst of danger and difficulties. He is with us. He is our refuge, verse 1. And it is repeated in verse 7 and verse 11. Therefore, we will not fear. It's figurative speaking of an earth that is moved or removed, a world that is put upside down, and mountains that tremble and are moved into the midst of the sea. He is with us. Despite all the attacks from the enemies of the church and God's people, they might roar. Think of a waterfall. You probably have been at the Niagara Falls and you have heard this water roar with power. This sound is overwhelming, even intimidating. That is what we should think of when we read about the waters that roar. Sennacherib, with his 185,000 soldiers. They were like a tsunami of soldiers beyond the horizon, as far as you could see, soldiers, 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 surrounding the city of Jerusalem. But what does the psalm say? Therefore will not we fear. We will not fear. And it uses several times the word do. And we could read that as even if, or let the waters roar, let the mountains be shaken. Let it happen. He saves, he delivers, he preserves. Let Rapsaki shout. Let him try to frighten the people. Let him try to convince to surrender. He will be slain. Isaiah went to Hezekiah after Hezekiah has spread out this letter in the house of the Lord. God will defend. And the Lord went out that night, and he had slain in one night. He smote the camp, 185,000. And that is why this text says, come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. Desolations. And this God, who is a shelter, a refuge, and a strength for his people, is a warrior, the Lord of hosts, the Almighty, who does not let opponents stand in the way. A refuge. Let God be your help, says this psalm. Do not trust the Egyptians. Let God be your refuge. And that is a message for today. For today, we all are in the greatest need of a refuge and a strength. First of all, for your soul, and also for your life on this earth. the water may roar in your life. And the water may be as high as your lips, like you think you will perish soon. But do think of Psalm 34 that says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And the same psalm says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. We might ask, why does God allow something like corona spread over the world? Why does he allow it to take its toll? Why? Because God loves to see his people to return unto him. He loves to see people returning to the house of the Father, the heart of the Father, to seek refuge with him again or for the first time. He does chastise them because he wants them close to him. And yes, these events, like the fire, the forest fire in Australia, locusts in Africa, the corona all over the world, do carry something of the final judgment of God. But we should take the lesson for ourselves that this is a call to repentance, and that we should not speak in general terms about the wicked world, the world that is outside, not realizing that this world is in my own heart, including sin. And we also should realize, when we are fearful about corona, that a disease like malaria takes almost 500,000 lives per year. And we should also not say, whoa, whoa, how terrible this is, and then return unto our normal life and enjoy our expensive meals and drive our expensive cars. We should repent. We all should. Think of this refrain that comes back, you returned unto me not. The same says Revelation 16, and they repented not. Several times that is written. But why are there setbacks and disasters and diseases? That is, that you may find, seek, surety, refuge in him, in the God of the Creator of the world. I think of Psalm 124 that says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when man rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick, when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul, then the proud waters had gone over our soul. If it had not been the Lord. And when we have read about waters that roar and are troubled, there is a turn in this psalm in verse 4. Now we read about a river, streams. You could even think of a creek, a lovely picture of a meandering river or creek. A picture of God's life-giving presence. A picture that he abundantly satisfies. Think of Psalm 36 that speaks of the river of thy pleasures and a fountain of life. The city of God, Jerusalem, it shall not be moved. And in verse 6 we read about raging heathens and moving kingdoms. And we read this powerful word. He uttered his voice. The earth melted like wax in the fire. Be still and know that I am God, says the God of this psalm. Be still and know that I am God. And that is at the enemies of God's people. Be still, hold back. And it is for God's people. Be still, trust upon me. Know that there is a refuge in me. So we have this enormous earthquake that had caused the waters to roar at the beginning of this psalm. Mountains are shaken. All surety and all security seem to be gone. Danger is at hand. And what does the psalm say to us tonight? God is our refuge. Can you say that wholeheartedly? Did you see the word our? He is not a refuge and a strength. Our refuge and our strength. And that is what faith does. Faith does call him mine. My Savior and my Lord. When do you need refuge? In times of crisis. The Greek word for crisis has something of judgment in it. Crisis, turmoil, danger. You need a refuge that you can rely on. A refuge and a strength that has proven to be solid, trustworthy, reliable. The city of God is glad because this irrigation, this providing of water makes them glad. God does not forsake the city of God. He is the God of Jacob, the God who loved Jacob, the God of the covenant, who keeps his promises, who is faithful to his own covenant promises, the God of Jacob, the God who helps. In Jerusalem, there was a water called Siloam. Siloam. In this word, we read the word peace. Siloam. Peace. God is a God who gives peace. In your life, there might be roaring waters that are troubled. In your life, there might be mountains that shake and are cast into the midst of the sea. In your life, it seems that the water is all the way to your lips, and it's only a matter of time, and you will perish. In your life, there might be circumstances of diseases, concerns, worries, that you have no one left than this God alone, that you seek refuge in him, that this God does protect you, carry you, is with you. It is so necessary to seek refuge in him. Without him, you perish. You need to seek refuge in this God. And there might be someone tonight who says, the power of sin is like a roaring water. I can't withstand it. It's unstoppable. It's like a flood in my life. And someone else says, in my life it's even worse because it seems that God has turned against me. I knew of his mercy and of his grace and his love. But now my prayers bounce off the ceiling, and it seems that he has turned against me. Think of Lamentations 3, where Jeremiah says, he turned his hand against me. And he compares the Lord with a bear who lays in wait, and with a lion that waits in secret places. Maybe someone here tonight does feel it as if God for you is a consuming fire, and that his hand is against you. What should you do if you feel that all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me? When you feel that the water is getting higher and higher in your life, there is only one way. Seek refuge in him. For he is a refuge and a strength. Taking refuge is such an important aspect of faith. Faith does seek refuge. Faith that does not seek refuge is not true faith. Faith goes out unto him and seeks him and wants to find refuge in him. Fleeing to him. We think of this Old Testament city of refuge, where you could flee when the blood revenge was just behind you. You ran as fast as you could to be within the walls of this city of refuge. And that is how you should flee unto him, until you are safe under his wings, in his refuge. Do you know how often David calls God his refuge? Many times. And Moses in Psalm 19 speaks of the dwelling place. A dwelling place under his wings, a refuge and a strength. And that is why Christ was oppressed. That is why he was despised. That is why he had no refuge and no strength, where he had no place to hide. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? No refuge, no strength, no place to hide. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. And that is how he became the refuge for you. That is why you can flee to him. Because he had no refuge and no hiding place. A refuge for those who deserve to perish, for those who deserve to go under in this tsunami of water, those who deserve to perish in these roaring waters, they may flee to him. Jerusalem, the city of God, outside the enemy, 185,000, inside the walls, a lovely stream of living water, a city under siege, but also a city under the protection of the God of hosts, the Lord of hosts, Siloah, peace. This water in the city of Jerusalem, a sign of God's peace, his faithful care, his mercy, his grace. A peace he still wants to give into hearts that are full of darkness. Siloam, this source that had been despised before by King Achan. We read about it in Isaiah 8. For as much as this people refuses the water of Shiloah, refuse. And isn't that the sin of all those who reject Christ? They refuse to flee unto him. They refuse to seek refuge in him. They refuse to have him as their master, to have him as a living water. If you have never sought refuge in God, my friend, I urge you to do that tonight. Let tonight be the night that you seek and find refuge in this triune God, this God who is willing to forgive, who is willing to be a refuge for a lost sinner like you and me. And when you seek salvation in him, you will experience that there is truly salvation in Jesus Christ. Water in the city of God. Think of Ezekiel 47, where the water streams, and it begins from under the altar, from under the place where sacrifices were brought, from under the sacrifice. That is why there can be forgiveness and why there can be reconciliation, why there is renewal of sinners. Why? That is why you can drink from this fountain of living water. In this fountain, a filthy sinner is washed clean. In this fountain of living water, a thirsty sinner can quench his thirst. The Lord is exalted above all. Come, behold, says verse 8. Come and behold. You need to hear these words, and you need to come, and you need to see it. Come, behold. God did deliver his people from the Egyptians, and he did deliver them from the Assyrians. He uttered his mouth, and the earth melted. That speaks about the power of God. God as a warrior who slaughtered the Assyrian army. God, who is the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. You do not want to have this warrior against you, my friend. For now, he is proclaimed unto you as a refuge, as a strength, as a hiding place. But one day, he will be a warrior for all those who refuse to seek refuge, who refuse to bow before him. God is with us, says the psalm. God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. In him, God is with us and reconciles us unto himself. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Come and behold. Come and see what I have done, says God. Come and see what I have yet, what I will yet do. Psalm 46 is as Romans 8 in the New Testament. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? No one. No one shall separate us from the love of Christ. This God is proclaimed to you tonight as a provider, as a protector. But do not refuse, because then he will be a warrior and a consuming fire. I am a refuge, God says. I am a strength, says God. And who may come to this refuge? Who? Everyone who hears the gospel. Everyone who hears the call to come to him, to seek salvation in him. Everyone. There is no one excluded. Think of Noah, who was building this ark for 120 years. And for 120 years, Noah was inviting the people to seek refuge in this ark, to be saved, to be reconciled with God. 120 years they were invited, but they refused. They did not want to believe. They did not want to enter the ark of salvation. Someone might say, but you need to be convinced of your sin before you come. You can come as you are, because you will be convinced of your sin if you are in him. And someone else might say, but I need to be humbled before I can come. I can tell you that he will humble you. When you come unto him, he will convince you of sin, and he will humble you. Do hear, and do believe, and do obey his word. Seek them shelter. Seek them refuge in him for the first time or again. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, may this prayer be in all our heart, that thou art our refuge and our strength, that in the midst of turmoil and danger, we are safe in thee. Lord, bless thy word. Continue with thy word in our hearts. Do give fruits of faith and repentance. Forgive us anything that was sinful. Go with us if we will enter a week of uncertainty. Bless the work of our hands. Bless the families. And do bring us back in thy house in the week to come, that we will gather again around thy word. Protect and preserve us, Lord, and keep us from sin. In Jesus' name, amen. I realize I forgot to have a psalter in between. I would love to sing Psalter 416 together. Psalter 416, stanzas 3 to 5. 416, 3 to 5. Let us pray for God's protection and benediction. O Father, may thy love appear to us. O Son, make us conformable to thee. O Holy Ghost, send thy comfort with us now. Triune God, to thee be all the glory. Amen.